We are excited to have Jason Longshore join us on the WaitForward.com hotline talking Atlanta United, guys. We move on. The Red Bulls are next. It's the MLS Eastern Finals and a right to play for the MLS Cup, but we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Jason, I want to start with the change in the 11 going with Robinson. I thought this was something that I'm going, what? But it not only did it work, but he played well.
Miles Robinson was outstanding, and the reason he was is go back to Atlanta United 2 and launching a second team this year. Not an easy thing to do. Atlanta United put a lot of resources into having a second team, and we've seen it pay off often this season, but nothing bigger than yesterday. Miles Robinson steps into the starting lineup in a playoff match in the second leg and delivers a performance like he's been starting all season.
It was just such an electric vibe. The intensity was there, much like it was in Yankee Stadium. And, you know, the guys just did such a fantastic job. And I know the man of the match was Darlington Nagbe, who was facilitating so many big moments. Remedy did a great job. And I also, we said this before you came on, Jason, all the guys, from LGP to Brad, kept their composure as NYCFC was trying to rattle their cage.
Yeah, we went through about four, five, six different guys that could have been man of the match. I went with Franco Escobar. You know, you could have said Robinson. You could have said LGP. You could have said Remedy. Remedy was my player of the two games of the series. I thought he was outstanding defensively to the point that Maxi Morales barely had any impact on the game, and they kept trying to move him out to the wing or he'd drop deeper to try to find the ball. But the thing about New York City, and you have to look at their approach from the very beginning yesterday, they felt like they were desperate. It looked like they were desperate. The way they were overreacting to calls, the way they were trying to, you know, kind of goad Mark Geiger into making some decisions. And Atlanta United just played and just handled business.
You talk about Morales. He had one shot on goal. David Villa, no shots on goal again. The defensive tactics, that is, specifically maybe by Remedy, because I saw after the game where he said, I just wanted to stay as close to him as possible, not let him turn and face the goal. It worked.
Yeah, it was a collective. You know, Remedy was a little more to deal with Morales specifically. Villa, it was a combination of Gonzalez, Perez, Parkhurst, Robinson. What was impressive was how in sync they were in the second half, because you saw Garza and Escobar drop deeper to make a true line of five, and then Nagbe, Remedy, and Gressel play in front of them in a line of three. And it was very deep, very compact, a group of eight that really hadn't played together much this season at all. And they didn't get caught. Players weren't getting in behind them. They weren't, you know, making the wrong step, or they weren't out of position. It was so well organized. And now you have 2 weeks to prepare for the New York Red Bulls, knowing how they're going to play. They're not going to deviate from that. Atlanta United has shown tactical flexibility this season. The Red Bulls are the Red Bulls. They're going to play the same way.
Hey, before we talk more about the match and what happened and a great vibe at Mercedes-Benz yesterday, Mike Conti just came in before we do the update and told Carl that, you know, we got one more international break, and this is why I hate how long the MLS season drags out. I know that everybody's got to deal with it, and Red Bulls will have players on the road too, but Miggy and Tito get called up for Paraguay. They're going to fly all the way to South Africa. And also in the off week, Joseph plays for Venezuela. He's going to fly all the way to Japan. I don't like that, Jason. I don't need this the week before we got to play in these big matches in the conference finals.
I don't like it either. I'm not a fan of it at all. Major League Soccer has to figure something out here. For me, the easiest move is to stretch the regular season out to where the regular season ends this past weekend.
Okay.
Then you have the break going into the postseason, and you have momentum going to MLS Cup.
Yeah, I when Conte came in and dropped that news on us, I became visibly upset, simply because,
well,
again, guys, we're
guys,
playing.
We have a little bit of breaking news, actually. Darlington Nagbe was supposed to join up with the U.S. men's national team. He will not be joining up with them, pulled out of the squad due to a low-grade left hamstring strain, according to Atlanta United.
Oh,
suffered the injury last night. He's week to week. Low-grade left hamstring strain. We don't know if he'll be ready to go in 2 weeks. This could be just something to keep him out of the U.S. men's national team matches. We don't know. But that was just announced by Atlanta United.
So Nagby's got that. Brad's got to play in Paris too?
It looks like, from what Dave Sarakin said last week, that guys who were involved with the national team who were still involved in the playoffs would not play the second game. So Brad would be there for the England game, but not the Italy game.
Okay. All right.
Guys, you're getting some news here from our man, Jason Longshore, in regards to Atlanta United. Now, again, let's just kind of reset here. We host the Red Bulls November 25th. So if you're going, wait a minute, this Sunday, we have time. The problem is, and why I was visibly upset, is because you play all season to get to this point, and now you're forcing, and I use that loosely, this is just part of soccer, but Mike, you're forcing, in essence, for some of our stars to go on these road trips, as you mentioned, and how much does that take away from them and then their potential performance in our matches? I don't want to take any of that for granted and just say, oh, well, they're used to it, or this is okay. So, you know, listen, it's going to happen. And as we said, the Red Bulls have guys on their squad that are going to go international as well, but I don't like it as either. The Red Bulls, by the way, will host the second leg November 29th. Mike pointed that out. So those are the two legs, 25th and the 29th. And that is what we're shooting for as far as those dates, guys.
And, Jason, you talked a lot about how Columbus, they really had Red Bull's number. Red Bulls really dropped the hammer on them. They were down one zip going in, and they nipped that in the bud and just kicked butt. What did you make of that match?
Yeah, big performance from the Red Bulls yesterday, where they had to have a big response against Columbus, a team they hadn't beaten all season. I really think Chris Armas is getting the best out of this group, where Jesse Marsh in the past as manager maybe wasn't getting these types of performances in these moments. This feels like it's Chris Armas's team now. And we saw that, I think, at Red Bull Arena when Atlanta and the Red Bulls faced off, and Chris Armas was gesturing to the crowd, and everybody was really behind him. It feels like they're feeding off of that. And this is a Red Bull group that will be very difficult. But, you know, we all talk about Atlanta's playoff history across all sports. The Red Bulls have won 3 supporter shields in the last 6 years. They haven't been to MLS Cup since 2008, and they've never won MLS Cup. So there's a lot of pressure on their side as well.
Jason Longshore, our guest, guys, as we talk Atlanta United. Our United advance to the East Finals against the Red Bulls after winning last night. Aggregate score, by the way, between the first and second legs. And last night it was a 3-1 victory in the second leg in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Hey, I wanted to ask you about set pieces, because we talked a little bit about this last week, and you said we're doing a lot better job. And I think it's obvious after last night the job that we are doing.
Yeah, set pieces have been special for this group in this series. We'll go back and look at the first leg, how many chances they created from set pieces. Defending set pieces, you can't play a ball to the near post with Joseph Martinez in the role that they deploy him on corner kicks. He's going to gobble up and win every header possible at the near post. And then on the free kick, you get somebody other than Kevin Kratz scoring on a direct free kick. Miguel Almiron said it was kind of a miracle for him, his first professional goal from a free kick. He was feeling it. He looked at where he was, felt like this was one for him, and he puts it into the upper 90.
Unbelievable night, as we said, Jason. Just a great vibe. We talked about the things Mickey's doing. And hopefully it's not Mickey's swan song, because all the rumors, you know, about Mickey going here, whether it's England or Spain or whatever. But if it was, in fact, one of his last games at the Benz, it sure was amazing. The lineups, we already talked about how Tata changed it up with Robinson, the 3-5-2, but then a little more of a defensive posture. Real quick, we did not know, and I heard it on the TV broadcast, about this bad blood with the coach of NYCFC, Dominic Torrent, saying that we were a bunch of floppers and divers. I mean, what was that all about?
You know, that was a whole thing where, honestly, I think the headline writing squad wrote a different headline than what the actual quote was from Dome Torrent. Dome Torrent said going into the match that New York City wouldn't play the ball out if an Atlanta player was down and they weren't sure if he was really hurt, that they would just let the referee make the decision on when to stop play. Nothing wrong with that. That's okay. Completely fine. I think the diving part of it was in the headline, and there really was nothing in the quotes from it. But I felt like all of those types of comments, because Torrent had some, Anton Tinnerholm had some, different players said different things from NYC. It felt like going into the first leg, they knew they had to get the win there, because they're not a good team on the road. They came in here a goal down, and it looked desperate. When you gave up a couple of goals in the first half, they didn't really know how to respond to that, and they felt overwhelmed. This was a team that really felt like it was kind of broken when Patrick Vieira left in midseason.
Jason, as you look at the Red Bulls, and I'll say this because it has to be said, we've yet to defeat the Red Bulls in 4 previous meetings during the past 2 seasons. This is why we talk about them having our number, and this is why we say, you know, winning the Supporters' Shield was such a big deal. At the end of the day, we have enough talent, we have enough wherewithal to go out and do this. But the problem is history is not on our side. And I think a lot of people around soccer were saying the same things that we're saying is, oh, can we beat the Red Bulls? We can. We're going to talk with you later in the week, I know, but I want to ask you specifically, why is it that you think we've not had success?
Difficult style of play, and it's a style that is at its best against a team that typically plays the way Atlanta plays, where they want to control possession and build up chances. The Red Bulls play a very destructive style where teams who want to build something up, the Red Bulls, then it gives them more opportunities to press. What Atlanta did in these last two games, though, against New York City shows a different way. And it shows something that can be successful. Look at last night, 30% possession. That's almost unheard of for Atlanta United. You're going back to the Minnesota game where you're freezing and you're a man down for that low of a possession number. You got the win, though. And against the Red Bulls, I love that Atlanta United has the first leg at home. I think it gives them the opportunity to set the tone for the series in front of the 17s, get a result at home, and then you can go to Red Bull Arena and sit and defend if you have to,
okay,
and try to ride that out.
All right, Jason, we'll be picking your brain in the next couple of weeks as well. And again, we'll talk more about the international break, which has guys traveling all around the world if you missed the conversation. He is Jason Longshore. Follow him at Longshoe right here. He is our soccer guy.